And we can eat and do business at the same time, so at this time, I'm gonna call on my colleague, Mr. Kenneth Adkins, Commissioner Wayne County, to invocation.
Okay. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the God known to each of us provide the strength, wisdom to perform the duties and fulfill the responsibilities required by our oath of office. May our actions be pleasing to God and meet the expectations of the citizens we serve. May bless this food, Father, to strengthen our bodies, that we would be in service. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. If you would, please rise and join me in the pledge of allegiance to the flag of our country. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Be seated and continue.
Thank you for your patience.
Ms. Danielle Fletcher, roll call, please.
Steve Williams, Howard Anderson, James Turner.
Here.
Thomas Bell, James Insko, Nancy Cartmell.
Present.
Bob Bailey, Amy Nolan, Beth Thompson.
Here.
Phoebe Patton Randall, Bernard McGinnis, Jason Stevens.
Here.
Les Boggs, Patrick Lighty.
Here.
Bill Dingus.
Here.
Terry Porter, Ralph Fine.
Here.
Rich Blankenship.
Here.
Kenneth Adkins. Robert Paisley.
Here.
Don Byas, Shane Dillon, Paul Davis.
Here.
Stephen Toler, Nikki Smith. Alexander Charles, Marion Russell.
Here.
Benjamin Bitter.
Here.
Robert Carpenter.
Here.
William Hawkins. Bill Biggs.
Here.
Cheryl Moore. Joseph Payne. Paul Maddox. Greg Bailey.
Yeah.
Richard Warner. Harry Keller. Bill Murray. Ray. Mike Hancock. Bart Bryant. John Moore. Darren Eldridge. Steve Ross. Thomas Witt. Joe Callahan.
Was there anyone on the phone that didn't hear your name called?
This is Allison Fluitt with Kimley Horn.
Thank you, Allison.
Okay. And Allison, we'll be back with you.
I'm sorry, could you repeat?
I'm sorry, this is Eric Rentz of RSG.
Thank you.
Okay.
And we make apologies for the city of Huntington. They have a funeral, and yeah, the mayor's daughter is getting married today, too.
So. Yeah, there's things going on in the life of the folks in the city of Huntington that they won't be able to be here today. We will. We usually have them here, but family matters and families first. So. We have on number five on the agenda the minutes from our previous meetings. We had one regular meeting and two special meetings. They were distributed via email. If there be no questions, I would entertain a motion to accept those minutes as distributed.
Motion to accept.
There's a motion to accept. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Been properly seconded. Any further discussion? Not all in favor, but signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Aye.
Thank you. They are approved. Item number six, Transportation Management Area Presentation, Bernadette DuPont, Transportation Specialist, Federal Highway Administration, Kentucky Division. I think those folks really have a hard time. They won't ever hear much of this, but...
missing.
Okay.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for this opportunity to share some information with you. How many people know what a certification review is? A few of you? Well, we're going to go over the basics of everything so that everyone will be on the same page when that stays sure. Talking to Jason back there, he's going to be the lead on the certification review. And he will... he told me this morning that the date was set for it, January 26th through the 27th. You can mark that on your calendar. Everyone's open. It's up to the public to come. There is a public comment period. Probably have a public review that night. Public group meeting. And that will probably be on the 26th.
4 to 6.
4 to 6. Those times are already set. Okay, well, that's good. Okay, well, we'll move on. Please, let me introduce you to the federal team. I added myself on there at the end. I'll be just an expert if they have someone who doesn't need to be there. But it consists of the Transit Administration, Federal Transit Administration, and Federal Highways. And you can see that there's a representative from each of the states there. It occurs once every 4 years. This will be the first one for you, first one for West Virginia, so there'll be a lot of attention paid to it. This is a transportation management area, which means it has a population of over 200,000. Because you receive special money just for your TMA, they offer a special review. One of those. And we also, as I said before, we cover input. And this is the, like, this same presentation would be the one that I would give to the public. In fact, hey, this is what's going on. This is what, why we need your assistance. I said, why are you here? Your opinion counts. More than anything, the public's opinion counts because they're being attacked. Comments will be summarized. So if you attend the meeting, the public meeting, or you write comments, usually it's a 30 days we wait for comments to come in. If you don't get those comments, they don't get in the report. If you want to say something needs to be improved, you write that down. You say, oh, I like the way it works, you write that down also. Usually when we have a public meeting, the majority of people that come are transit. And we don't have enough transit, we need to stop here, we need to sidewalk the bed. It's usually about projects, but really this is about the planning process. Is there adequate time for you to put your comments in? Do you get a chance to review the documents? So these are all things that we're really looking forward to. But the MPO staff is there, the state employees are there, the transit people are usually there. And they come and they can answer those questions that are present. Okay, the report is issued within 60 days. Now that's just the state, the general standard, but sometimes it's earlier, sometimes it's later. If it doesn't occur within that time frame, it's on us. We have to have it within 4 years exactly. And but we would punish ourselves. So if it's a couple of days late, we're not going to do a whole lot. But that's the standard. And what happens is we have a process. The MPO will be certified that their planning process is good, or it'll be to corrective action. And usually if you get a corrective action, there's a time frame associated with that. Say, for example, you didn't have that plan that was working or just doing the year. We say, well, you have to have it in place within, and then we would come back and check on it. Because if you don't follow, those are things that are in the law. Corrective actions have to do with what the law is. So if you don't have something that makes you adhere to the law, then we have to just take action. And sometimes federal funding would be a deficit. Now, in Kentucky, that's never happened since I've been working here almost 15 years. However, we have given corrective actions, and those things have been addressed. So it's really to help the MPO improve. It's not a gotcha kind of thing. Like, oh, and I also go to the MPO certification review, so we share best practices. Well, we just came from Cincinnati. Cincinnati's doing this. You might want to try something similar. Or I've been to Lexington, and they're doing this, and wow, that'd be a great idea. So let's talk about what the planning process really is. A process for which transportation decisions are made and projects are selected, planned, and prioritized. You already do that. You're just checking that the process is working. That you are having interactions with the state DOT. that you are interacting with the standards. Sometimes to go certification reviews and the transit agencies only come for their portion. They should be there to hear everything because they all are supposed to be working together. It's one DOT, one Department of Transportation, which includes both transit and highway. Why is it important? Well, the first one, of course, is money. It decides how the funding is spent. There's a limited amount of funding. You want to make sure you get heard on what you want to spend the money for. And you also want to make sure that you're framing the transportation system for your future. When you have the long-range plan, or what it's called down to, it's called the transportation plan, 20 years out. Most MPOs are doing it for 25 years. Because one day after it's issued, it's already not with 20 years. It's required to be 20 years. Unless people do it 25. So who's involved? A lot of different agencies there. Most important, though, oh, I didn't mean to say the cat. The local citizens and the industry. We want to make sure we get input from the public, not just from the political, but we want to have the private sector and the public sector and everyone else. And this is what's written in the Code of Federal Regulations, the 3C process, continuing, cooperative, and comprehensive. Continuing means that there's ongoing activity, not just, hey, we're having this meeting come to this one time. They want you to be involved all the time. Cooperative. Sometimes you might have a conflict between an MPO and a state. They're saying, well, do it this way, and Ohio's telling us to do it this way, Detective's telling us to do it this way. So it has to be cooperative. You have to find a way to work together. Comprehensive. It doesn't just include highways. It's the sidewalks, it's the bus routes, the transit. Think about all this. The main thing that we know is a core function, and that's to develop these five planning documents. One is work program, participation plan, the congestion management plan, transportation management program, and metropolitan transportation plan. And we're going to go over each one of them in a second. So the work program, UTWC, lists all the activities that your staff are supposed to do, the colleagues are supposed to produce for you. Responsible party, it's not the MPO staff, it might be the state. And how much it costs. That's more or less your contract, the college and board contract with the staff. Once you sign off on that, when you give them the MPO resolution and sign it, that means they can move forward without having to set it. So have a plan that they usually have a federal plan and a top plan. Time horizon is you can do a work program once every year or once every 2 years. And here, they do it once a year. Now, your participation plan is very important because this is where you get the basis for your decision making. This is where you get the public involved. And this is where you have a chance to get their concerns and their issues into your planning process. Issues periodic, that's what they wrote. You have to be updated every so often, usually it's time frame they give you, but this is periodic. That means they leave it up to the MPO. Here it's listed on your tracking sheet as tenure with the census data. But I know that you do update more often than that. Because if something's not working, you want to make sure you adjust it. Or there's some new technology out there, like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You want to make sure that you're utilizing all your sources to get as much public involvement as possible. But you don't want to forget about the people who do not use those things. Like your elderly population, or the people who can't afford those things. You can make sure you get it all. Who's involved in the public? Well, more than you ever think about. The public agencies, the local government, special interest groups, the private sector, the legal system. Ooh, I never thought about the lawyer. Federal government. Tribal government, well, state, and then of course the humane citizens. These are the ones that are all listed specifically in the Code of Federal Regulations. Public transportation employees, freight shippers, private providers of transportation, bike and pedestrian community, the disabled, freight transportation services, and any other interested parties. But that makes you think, oh, we have to think of different ways to reach out to those different groups. not everybody comes to this meeting. How many people are here from the public? Okay, well, we need to try and reach out to them just a little bit, because it's required by law. Okay, there's an animal problem. How many people know that is? Just got a new one. Just a couple of you kind of hear about it. I didn't know that was the wrong one, but just because just management.
Plan. You all are working on that.
right? It's almost finished. Or keep starting. Just starting. But that'll feed into your plan. And as well as your ITS architecture. Everyone's ITS architecture is supposed to be updated once every 5 years. That's what they said at the very beginning. Now it's periodic. But that means it's an ongoing document, and anytime you have a new ITS project, you must address to make sure it's in your architecture, and then you can fund it. And then, of course, your metropolitan transportation plan fits into the big comprehensive plan for your area. It's just one of the pieces. And when you have all that information together, that's how they determine and give you the zoning and the permit. Now, we haven't talked about a transportation improvement program. This is the one that actually, it says called program. That means the funds are programmed for it. So there's money associated with these projects. It has to be consistent with what you have put in your plan for the long 25-year plan. And it has to be just like that. You have to identify the year it's going to be open to traffic, the phase, it's going to be construction, utilities, right-of-way, or the environmental portion. And then, of course, your cost. And who's going to be responsible for building it? Is it going to be the transit agency? Is it going to be the highway department? What state is it going to be? And then it has to be fiscally constrained. If you look at that, the first year has to be available or committed. So whatever projects are in the first year of your TIF, you know they're going to move forward. They have money already allocated for them. If it's a non-attainment area, the first 2 years must be allocated or committed. But otherwise, it's the second third and fourth year, they must be reasonably expected to be available. Once every 4 years. Just recently combined your TIF, so you have one now for the CMA. So here's the kind of your MPO. We have two MPOs involved. We have three states, which include four counties in West Virginia, two counties in Kentucky, and one county in Ohio. Now I'm going to talk about the Kentucky project. How each of the states work. But in Kentucky, if you have projects from your county, they go into the plan. They are prioritized. And then they get prioritized again. Submit your project to the state highway district office. And then they have, in this area, you're in District 9, and it involves all those counties over there, 10 of them. So you're competing not only with the ones in your MPO, but you're competing with the ones in that 10 county area. Then they get prioritized, and then those get sent to the state highway plan. Now, I just heard yesterday that the new highway plan is ready, and it's going to the Secretary of Transportation. He's going to review it. Then it'll go to the legislature, but they've got it ready now, if you haven't heard about that. But they prioritize the projects that you put in your MPO, in the highway district. Now it's prioritized with everybody in the whole state, 120 counties. And then, of course, it goes to the legislature. Highway plan goes to them. They can take projects out or approve them or veto some of them. But when they finally got their final project, it goes to the governor. He has the same opportunity to prioritize them for approval or disapproval. But then you come up with your next highway plan. And that's good for 6 years in Kentucky. Now, as a federal person, the only thing we care about is the TIF. But in a way, that's misbehaving just a little bit, because the highway plan is taken out for public comment, and everybody puts their input into that, and we give them credit for the statewide transportation improvement program as part of that public involvement. So here we are with the statewide transportation improvement program. The same as your MPO. It has to be fiscally constrained. It has to have all the individual projects listed. And they also have something called group projects, and I think you're TIF has some group projects. Not all of them, just has some though, right? And then, so this is kind of an important lesson for you guys, that if you don't put something in your plan, it'll never make it to this process. It'll never get federal funding. So you have a lot of power. If you don't want something in your plan, you don't want to get funding, don't put it in your plan as a guess. You can always add it later if you change your mind. But if you do want to fund it, you must have it in your plan. Okay, so back to the planning process. So this is what the certification review is about. You're going to check these five core documents. We're going to check process is done correctly and that your goals and priorities have been established by the state, local agencies, and tribal governments, that the projects were determined in cooperation, you know, the 3C thing, with their state and MPOs, and that they're fiscally constrained. That is a requirement by the air quality requirements as well as the planning requirements. And then this is the point where I ask the public, we're at a public meeting, I said, do you have any comments? And then have you been involved in the self-transportation planning process? What are your views? Do you think you have adequate opportunities to participate? And this is where they were, it got loud, and we're really just listening and writing down everything, and we'll summarize it, put it in the report. And if there's some specific questions they don't know about the process or understand, we also explain those. So, now, if you have any questions, I'll be happy to take them. I know it's a lengthy presentation. Everyone's still awake, though, that's it.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, thank you very much.
Bernadette, we thank you. It's still not enough time to put all that into something that, you know, you can wrap your mind around. If you're just fresh today, that's a lot of material to cover. But we do thank you for your explanation.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, item number 7, our Kiowa study and project update and discussion. We have... Number 1 on the list is the fiscal year 2015 Kiowa Transportation Studies Update, and Allison Fluitt joins us by phone. Allison, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Can you all hear me all right?
Just fine.
Thanks all very well, yes. Proceed.
All right, great. Well, thanks for the opportunity to present to the committee. Today we just wanted to go through... We have 6 different studies in progress, various forms of progress with y'all right now, and we wanted to just go through each of those with a brief status update, and we'll pause after each one for any questions that you all may have. So just to recap, we are working on the decision support system for the region, also the regional travel demand model update, the Harris Riverfront study, which is now being called the Riverwalk at the Port of Huntington, a non-motorized plan for Boyd and Greenup counties, parking study for the city of Ashland, and the city of Ironton multimodal parking study. So we'll jump into the individual projects here, and at this point, I'll ask Eric Rentz, who's also on the line, to introduce himself and tell you all a little bit about the decision support system.
Thank you, Allison. Hi, everyone. My name is Eric Rentz of RSG, Resource Systems, Inc., working out of our Salt Lake City office. I hope everyone's having a great Friday. I led the Decision Support System, or DSS for short, development, and have been working with Bethany and Salim to ensure that we create a useful, flexible system. The goal of this project is to develop a tool that will support, facilitate, and structure Kiowa's CMP, which you guys just heard about. The additional hope for the DSS is that the solution developed can be expanded to support the decision-making process for other and new tasks. A decision support system, DSS, is an interactive computer-based information system that aids in the decision-making process through the use of data and models to solve rapidly changing, unstructured, or not easily specified problems. DSS are comprised of 3 key components: data, models, and user interface. The DSS that was developed for Kiowa was actually a spatial decision support system, or SDSS. SDSS are unique in that they are designed to support spatial problems, integrate with geographic information systems, GIS, and often leverage maps as their main user interface. The SDSS developed for Kiowa is a simple but elegant solution to codify the development of transportation-related maps and visualizations while promoting repeatability and reducing the requisite effort for the map-making and data visualization process. With the SDSS, Kiowa will be able to test more and newer scenarios in the future while also having a base from which to add new and more complex decisions. In terms of updates, RSG spent the spring conducting a needs assessment, developing a requirements document for the SDSS development, and preparing a mock-up of the final product. By midsummer, the requirements document was agreed upon, and we moved forward with design and development in earnest. On August 24th, I led a workshop to present the SDSS to Kiowa staff, provide training, and get feedback on desired additions and modifications. The final draft of the SDSS should be working its way across the ether today, while a draft of the final documentation and user's guide has already been sent to Salim and Bethany. These drafts are what I like to call first final drafts, meaning that we are nearly complete and should only need minor modification. We're hoping to get sign-off on the draft so that we can send final draft deliverables in the coming weeks. Thank you, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Anyone have any questions?
Does it cover all three states?
Yes.
Yes, it does.
How do you handle Marriott? Is it covering Marriott about the county? No, it's not about the county. But we had listed the DMA. That's why I mean we're covering the government section of the county.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moving on to the next, thank you, Eric. Moving on to the next portion of this update, I wanted to just touch on the travel demand model. As you guys know, we did have two travel demand models operating in this region, one for the previous Cuyahoga area and then one for the Ashland MPO area. Upon the combination of those into a tri-state MPO, we were charged with combining this into a tri-state regional model. So I just wanted to provide you all with some progress of where that stands currently. We did have a model kickoff meeting at the beginning of March to discuss the development process and the data needs that would be required to merge this into a tri-state model. That involved a stakeholder group from all of the states that's been very active throughout this process. That group met again in May because there were some questions raised in March that we wanted to drill down on a little bit more and some data that needed to be gathered in the interim. Over the two-day period in May, we had an intensive workshop to discuss some of the specifics of the model, and we came away from that workshop with a very strong understanding and a consensus as to how we wanted to proceed as a regional model. So following that, we've been putting together the data that was received from the various states and moving forward with a couple of key items. Here on our second slide, for our model progress, we have already merged the traffic analysis zones from the three states into one big network. Same with the streets, so you can see just the little screen capture here. This is the street network that's actually in the model now. And then we were charged with updating the base year of the model to 2015, just so that we would have a more current base year for everybody to operate off of. So that has been updated as well. So we're entering our final phases of the model preparation, which include the calibration and validation process for the three states, and then updating the model documentation. So I'll pause here. Are there any questions regarding the travel demand model?
Apparently not.
All right, moving on then. We'll move to the City of Huntington for the Riverwalk at the Port of Huntington Master Plan. So just a brief bit of background. I think everybody is likely aware of the fact that the City of Huntington has been working with Superior Marine to move forward with some master planning and development efforts at the Riverfront Park area. Cuyahoga, the city, and Superior Marine formed a key stakeholder group that met several times throughout the life of the development of this master planning process. Kimley Horn partnered with Trinity Consulting Group as a part of this process, and they really led this effort, and we assisted them from incorporating things from a transportation perspective into the master plan. As a part of the master plan, riverfront amenities were identified. We tried to be as realistic as possible by making sure that everything had an opinion of probable cost assigned to it, and then concluding with a prioritization process that helped us understand what the phasing should be as a portion of the riverfront development. So on the image that you'll see on the second slide here, this is just the master plan as it is laid out. You can see the various elements. I won't go through everything here, but I will point out that a first phase of this is actually recently gotten underway with the City of Huntington, working directly with Trinity. And the purpose of that first phase is to move forward on the construction of the fire boathouse, as well as some of the marina elements as well. So they are working on, I believe, design leading on to construction as a part of that phase. Are there any questions about the master plan effort? All right, hearing none, I'll jump over to Kentucky for an update of a couple of projects we have going on there. There is a non-motorized plan that we're preparing for Boyd and Greenup counties. We had the opportunity to come to the area at the end of July for a series of two-day meetings. We had some stakeholder meetings in Boyd County and accompanied those with a field review, and then the following day met with folks in Russell for a Greenup County meeting, and then did some field review as a portion of that effort as well. This was not a general public workshop opportunity. That is actually coming up in the month of November. But we wanted to get our feet under us as a part of this study by engaging with some of those stakeholders that we felt really had the pulse of what the issues and opportunities were for the bicycle and pedestrian networks within the two county area. So that's what we did there. That's enabled us to come back and put some information together, some preliminary recommendations, which will be available at the November 5th meeting. And a venue has already been selected for that. We'll be meeting at the Ashland Transit Center. And just to conclude that, the plan development, we are looking to finish up by the end of the calendar year. And the second slide here, you'll just see some images of our field review across the two county area. There was a lot of really great information that our stakeholders were able to tell us, so we were then able to go follow up and target some of those particular facilities to learn more and kind of validate what was out there. Are there any questions about the non-motorized plan? Okay. As a sub-study for that, we also wanted to look at some parking issues within the city of Ashland. There have been some concerns expressed about how parking may or may not be incorporated into the area, and so we partnered with Kiowa and the city to just look into this a little bit further for three corridors in particular, Winchester, Carter, and Central. We met with City of Ashland folks toward the end of March for just an initial kickoff meeting to learn a little bit more about what concerns had been expressed by the community, and then partnered with the city and Kiowa as well for a stakeholder meeting at the end of July. The stakeholder meeting involved a wider range of folks, from elected officials to business owners to just locally interested citizens. And we got a lot of great feedback as a part of that process. So currently we are in the midst of developing the draft report, which should be available here in the next week to 2 weeks. The scenarios, we're looking in more detail on Winchester, looking at kind of a low intensity to high intensity spectrum of what could possibly be considered in the future. Are there any questions specific to the Ashland parking study?
Yes, I have one. Winchester, Carter, and Central, are they all downtown? They are.
That's correct. We're looking at the portions of those three roads that are in the Central Business District.
Did you look at truck parking for delivery?
That was one of the things that was raised during our stakeholder interviews, yes. There was discussion of the possible use for alleys, not only for truck parking, but also for employee parking. So that was something that was mentioned. And then the creation of loading zones was another issue that was brought up as well.
Did anyone mention specified hours for delivery?
Could you repeat that one again? I'm sorry.
Did anyone mention specified hours for deliveries, or is it any time of the day? there's another.
That was discussed, and Marion, you can feel free to jump in if you'd like. But yes, there was a discussion of maybe limiting it to certain hours of the day when it would be not as much in conflict with some of the other parking and traffic needs. Are there any other questions? Okay, last but not least, the Ironton Multimodal Parking Study. As a part of this process, the purpose was really to consider the parking needs that may be emerging in the city of Huntington, or Ironton rather, specifically in the downtown area. There's a few moving parts: the growth of the transit center, expansion of residential development in the CBD, and also expansion of some of the existing special uses, such as events at the Rona. So we did have an initial stakeholder meeting with a fairly diverse group of folks from the City of Ironton at the end of March. We were able to then go and do some field data collection. We actually did a occupancy count for all of the private and public lots in our study area throughout the course of a day in June. And we partnered with E.L. Robinson to help gather that information. We then came back toward the end of July with a draft report in hand that showed the results of that data gathering effort, the analysis associated with it, and a series of recommendations. That was reported to stakeholders. We had a few additional comments that came up as a part of that meeting, which were addressed, and then submitted the final report in mid-August. The primary takeaway of this process was that the study does recommend the construction of the Ironton Transit Center parking garage. And you can see on the next slide, there's just a graphic that shows the parking occupancy information that was gathered as a portion of this. There were several interesting findings that emerged as we started to look at this. First, we did notice that there are certain areas where there's a much greater concentration of parking demand, such as near the courthouse area. Secondly, we noticed the disparity between occupancy rates in public lots and private lots that are not currently enforced as private. And I think this can logically be inferred to coming from the fact that as somebody that's coming to the area, you may or may not understand that private lot is okay to park in. And so naturally, people are going to try to gravitate more to some of those public lots, which is where they're experiencing a higher demand. Some of the big benefits that we see coming online as a part of the parking garage would be supporting the city's initiative to incorporate and enhance golf cart mobility and golf cart parking throughout the area, which I think is a great economic development initiative for the city. We also see opportunities here to accommodate bicycle parking and additional transit needs. So this would truly be a multimodal parking garage, and it would also help satisfy some of the demand at peak times of day and also for special events in the downtown area. Are there any questions regarding the Ironton parking study?
How many spaces will it hold? The transit garage.
I'll open that up right now. I don't recollect offhand. I'm looking it up right now. It was previously studied and identified by the city, so we really built upon their parking garage recommendation and didn't feel like we needed to deviate much from that because it was fairly specific about the numbers of spaces and types of spaces that were being proposed.
On the preliminary conceptual design, we're looking at probably about 50 per deck or whatever of the area that's identified. And that would be vehicles, plus then you'd have also spaces for bicycles and golf carts, that type of thing, in that area there. So,
based on a 10-year picture or 20-year picture?
This is conceptual, but the idea that another approach would be to have capacity to add additional deck.
I have a question.
Yes.
a thought and a question. When, and Allison, you may not have looked into the fund, for funding, you're not talking about funding for possible locations. General locations, but not like it's going to be at this corner.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I'll ask that question later. I had an idea.
You know, for Ireland, too, I noticed that we neglected the bridge at the opening this next year, and that's going to dramatically increase the size and size of the downtown. And it probably needs to be updated after that happens.
That's a great point. That was discussed a couple times during our stakeholder meetings. And one of the things that came out of that is the city is looking at identifying some routes that are more conducive to some of the golf cart traffic that they're trying to promote. But we're really going to need to look from a traffic perspective at the city once those patterns do so drastically shift from the opening of the new bridge, because that freight movement patterns may change through the downtown area. So, yeah, we absolutely have to be mindful of that and the way that it would interface with just the multimodal travel network as a whole. Any other questions? That concludes my presentation. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you all today.
And we appreciate your time today, and thanks for the update, Allison. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Next on our list, update. As Lawrence County Projects, US 35, State Route 775, North South Corridor, Patrick Leidy. That comes after. You're going to speak to the projects that are ongoing now?
Well, right now we have the projects that we have, one of them that's on 52 is right off of the Solid Road interchange, and that's on Collins Avenue going into the industrial park. The stage one plans are just about complete with that project, and they'll be complete by the end of the year. And once we have that, then we can go out for a design build project once we get done with construction. Then we have the 52 County Road 15 and County Road 1 interchange. We did a feasibility study on that to show what kind of interchange would be the best to improve safety. We've had a couple of fatalities in that area in the last couple of years. There's multiple accidents there. So we've done a feasibility study. I've looked at safety funds for that project, and it just doesn't fit that criteria very well, so that's more of a better track project, so trying to get into that track. The Chesapeake Bypass, that's one of our big projects for the Lawrence County Transportation Improvement District, and there's funding for some of the right-of-way acquisition that's been going on, and there's a resolution in here. We'll get into that later. And then there's also the 410, County Road 410 project, which is right beside Sam's. That's another design-build project that We've actually got stage three plans done on it. They didn't seem to go that far, I don't believe, for design build. I'm working on getting safety funds on that project. It's scored real high with some of the safety funds. So hopefully that one will get selected. So those were the main projects that I have.
Patrick, my one, the project there by Sands, I don't know if it's the first one in the tri-state, is going to be a roundabout?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, it is a roundabout. The stage three is designed for a roundabout. We went to the different businesses in the area. We went to Sands and Walmart and Wendy's, and these are businesses that are used to dealing with traffic in large areas, especially with Walmart. They were very much wanting a roundabout. So
if everybody likes it, we'll name it the Patrick Leidy roundabout. If they don't like it, we'll name it the Cade Leidy roundabout.
We just had to find out who's statue is.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, any...
Those are all the projects.
Okay. Any questions, Patrick? I would only make a point. I did experience a roundabout situation when we were up in toward Logan, Ohio, and it's going to be an entertaining educational process because around here we don't recognize stop signs and yield signs now. So there's going to be an educational process with this.
Yeah, and I would say there'll probably be some public meetings to try to get some of the public.
Yeah.
Involved in it, especially the one, also the one at the Solomon Road interchange that is also designed as a roundabout.
Yeah.
And probably the people in town.
The unique thing about that location is it being at Sam's is that there will be people from Kentucky and West Virginia using that a lot. So it'll be interesting to see how everybody gets a dose of it.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, well.
When I first heard about it, I was a little bit apprehensive, just with all the communities around here. I was thinking, well, you know, maybe that would draw people from doing this to that area. But the people, and I figured that's what maybe Sam's and Walmart would say, but they're pretty convinced that it would work.
You should have less accidents because we have a roundabout as opposed to a four-way intersection.
Even the less accidents, they're not as severe accidents. They're not the major angular accidents.
Yeah.
Thank you for installing our first roundabout on the interstate, right off the interstate for that arc park. And that would be the first one. First, take you on the interstate. We have several roundabouts already though in other areas.
Oh, Lexington has one.
Yeah, they have three.
Well, they have one that I go through all the time. And I'm like, no, wait a minute, do I go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate it. Ironton Riverfront Trail Project, a multimodal transit parking facility. We've heard a little bit about Ralph. And you want to add to what you've already said?
I think the intermodal we've already talked about. The Riverfront Project, we have pretty much a final design. It's right now currently at the Corps of Engineers under review for permits. Once we get permits, then that project is basically ready to put out the bid. So we haven't been able to pin down a firm time for getting the permit yet. So.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Ralph? Next one, Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, I guess, Ashland Projects Update and Functional Classification. Terry, you going to do that?
I want to apologize for our district office, and they have been working on a project that they built, so they had some costs today. So I'm going to ask if I could speak for them. In your handout, there's a handout, and they go over the project. So I think the one that really speaks to you all maybe might be probably in Boyd or actually Granite County. It's the bridge over the Jesse Stewart Bridge. for the Carl Perkins Railroad Bridge. That I think they've announced that that will be opening probably sometime in November. They've finished painting. I think they're releasing, taking down some of the rigging and everything, so that should be open pretty soon. But until then, they have to keep be patient and keep, you know, the diverting the traffic. So they understand that they want to get that open before Christmas. The other ones, there's one big project in Flatwood, Kentucky, which is in Greena. And once again, that's on Kentucky 207. And right now, they still have no funding for that project. And hopefully, with this new picture highway plan, they will be able to put funds for it so they can move past the planning phase on that. Other than that, like I said, there's information on here. If you have any questions afterwards, I'll be happy to talk to you about them. Or we can give the information if I don't have the answers through our district office. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Moving to State of West Virginia 1. Statewide freight plan, hike and mall traffic study, Elwood Penn from the Department of West Virginia Department of Highways.
Yeah, I guess on the freight plan, as recommended by MAP 21, the State of West Virginia is undertaking the development of a freight plan statewide. That project, we hired a consultant, HMTV, to help us develop that plan. We had a kickoff meeting in August. About 50 participants come in, sort of break some of the discuss what our plans were. It was all modes of transportation that would be represented and covered in these plans. We were happy with the turnout that formed the steering committee, technical advisory committee, and that their next meeting should be in November. We currently have a great survey out to the left that we're looking for input from the industry as to where the certain points are and the parties that are throughout the state. And I've got to hand out cards to distribute to so people can go in. We've gotten some pretty good coverage so far in the Eastern Panhandle, so we need the input in this area as to where the freight problems are. As we see in the Huntington area, and that's for your all input in participating in that. So I guess that's it for the freight plan.
I have a suggestion for you. Oh, sorry.
Are you looking in the metro area here,
we'll be coordinating, and we would like to have that input. If you would see, freight quarter, these extenders in other states, I know we're going to be coordinating KC Wells and
one of the things, though, that should be complete by December, Kentucky. Well, one of the things that we didn't think about at the very beginning was including the truck drive and weight program as part of the freight plan. And that would be something you probably might have forgot about as well. Not that you forget about it, you just think about your five modes of transportation for freight. And,
right.
But that's something we didn't think about at the very beginning.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about that.
Oh, good.
We weren't sure how much you'll get incorporated. We'll do this part of something.
You know, with the next authorization, whichever it is, Drive or Grow America, there's a whole much bigger emphasis on freight, so your plans are going to be more and more important. So.
Right. Well, we definitely see there may be some directed funding towards projects that are identified on the freight plans. So we want to go ahead and have that ready.
Yeah.
So. And also, we'll be establishing a freight advisory committee, which will be longer term. Once the plan's in place, and the freight advisory committee will kind of oversee updating and making sure that I get stuff implemented. So. Al Greer was another one that was listed here. There was a safety audit done along Al Greer Boulevard that identified some concerns. There's been a number of different items proposed to be implemented along Halberd to address the safety. This, we're now conducting a design study to look into pedestrian crossing and what the best solution is there at the hospital. And so we've hired StanTech to do a design study. We haven't fully scoped that. That scoping meeting is in October for that project. And then we'll be moving forward to trying to get, once the design studies done, we'll move on to the construction plan after that. Yeah, and Huntington, you want to pop up? And I'm going to turn it over to Rob Pennington. He's a little more familiar with this project than me.
So the Huntington Mall study we started a few years ago, where we have a request from the project, the Interstate Bridge over East Mall Road, for major rehab or possible replacement. So we were looking at traffic operations to see the I-64 one, six lanes, or possibly eight lanes. And if you've been on East Mall Road, you know the restriction that exists underneath that bridge. So we kind of commissioned the work with Kiowa on a study to actually extend it beyond the Merritt Creek connector. And that study has been completed and presented probably a couple weeks ago or so. And since then, we're going to expand the study to look at more specifically the development that proposed at the end of Merritt Creek Road there, Route 60, and possibly the need to six or eight lane between Merritt Creek and East Mall Road. And then the other part that we're actually contemplating is, if you can see just west of that drawing, there's a rather large, I want to say it's probably 12 or 1500 foot long, I-64 bridge over the Guyandot River, and it's scheduled for replacement. We're not scoping it yet. We're waiting to see, does it need to be six lanes or possibly eight lanes between 29th Street and Merritt Creek. So we're actually adding a study to include Route 60 all the way to 29th Street as part of the model. So we can scope.
Any questions? Is there any update on the Fifth Street Bridge, A Street Bridge replacements?
Well, I can give you a little bit of an update.
Okay.
Originally, I think Kiowa had asked, or the city had asked Kiowa to add it as a planning type study, and we had recommended that perhaps we could just roll it into our Fifth Street project. We already have that one pretty much scoped and underway, and they're going to be twin bridges. They're pretty close, very similar in terms of what the bridge types will be, but also getting through the environmental clearance process. So I think the city met with the secretary probably 2 or 3 weeks ago about that particular project. There was some level of concern about matching funds. So what we agreed, and I think I talked to Mary Ann last week, we're going to go ahead and push that through the environmental clearance process, the study process, and not actually require a match from the city at that point. And I have a draft agreement to send the city that states that they're going to let us have access to the city property and they're going to participate in the reviews. So we're going to complete the study, get it environmentally cleared, and then look at what bridge types and look at funds. So
good.
Moving forward.
Good. Thank you.
Is the design going to take into consideration the historic?
I think the issue that
superstructure.
I think there's an interest or a concern that the way it's rated or evaluated now, it's in a pretty bad condition. So we don't want to delay the study. We want to get it cleared environmentally.
Uh-huh.
But given the historic nature of the area, I think we expect probably a year to clear it environmentally. And it's simply because it's a 4F. Is it a 4F? Potential 4F impact. So we understand it's going to take a little while to get it through that. And originally, I think there was some interest or talk about using one of the detour for the other to avoid having temporary bridges in place. That hasn't been vetted yet, but we have added it, the A Street study and environmental clearance to the Fifth Street scope. No local match. So
I would anticipate some public involvement on that
project too. I'm sure the highway department will probably be doing a public workshop.
Okay, good.
I don't know what the sufficiency rating is, but I think it's 3 tons as opposed.
Yeah.
Anything below that, we gotta close. We don't have that yet.
Nothing.
Probably at least 2 years. 2 years.
We may be in Fort Pole Creek before we get it analyzed, maybe. Okay. Thank you very much. Tri-State Airport Projects, Mr. Jerry Brienza, Director.
Yeah, we have dual projects going on right now with Tyhope I'd like to discuss with you, one of which is secondary access road study. As I've informed this group before, we have a serious safety and operational issue with our airport, that there's only one way in and one way out. And we're looking at an alternative. Obviously, if something happens, such as a slide or something catastrophic on that roadway, pretty much shuts down not only the airport, but all of our tenants, including our only hub in the airport, right, in the state, our only FedEx hub. So it would be devastating for our community if something happened to that road. So we're looking at secondary access. And we've done some conceptual designs with some of our engineers in the past, but we really want to drill down on that and find out what the best alternative is to get people to and from the airport should something happen to our major road. We're only looking at probably a two-lane road going up and down, but we just need that secondary access for operational measures. So we've got that study going on, as well as at the same time we put in an application for sub-allocated funding to help us out with to enhance our passenger and freight mobility at the airport. Whereas many of you have probably experienced, if you come to our airport, that you either have to walk up one of two sets of stairs to get from the parking lot to the terminal, or use a very poorly designed handicap ramp to get to the terminal. So we're looking at making that enhancement by improving our mobility system in terms of putting in two elevator systems to bring people from the parking lot up to the terminal area. So that's the other project that we're working on now.
Okay. Any question for Jerry? Thank you very much. Transit system update, Jennifer Woodall.
Okay, we have something going on at PTA. We've received two of the minivans under the 5310 program that will go to Tri-State Industries over in Lawrence County, Ohio. We received three paratransit vans under the 5399 program for TPA. And we're on target to launch our ADBL program for the Next Bus Technology at the beginning of February 2016. So we're really excited about that.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Number eight, 5310 transit program for the Huntington, West Virginia, Kentucky, Ohio urbanized area. TMA, Jessica?
5310 program. What we're looking at doing is having another grant cycle for the FY14 fund, and you'll hear a little bit more about the human services, public transit, transportation, plan in just a little bit. But we're hoping to have a few more people that are eligible to apply, because participating in the coordination planning is one of many of the requirements that they have to meet as a nonprofit and depending on the population that they serve. So hopefully we will have that up and ready to go in the next couple of
weeks. Thank you very much. Any questions for Jessica? Okay, fiscal year 2016 Kiowa Transportation Project Update, Bethany.
For group one and three.
evaluating these beforehand, and then a final thing is my
So that airport 34.
Yes.
Is that the only one there is?
There's a smaller one in Kentucky and a smaller one in Orange County. They're both general aviation. We're the only here for certain air.
Commercial.
Thank you. Terry, give us an overview of the Kiowa sub-allocated funds, and I'll let you do the all the STPs and TAPs and all that stuff.
Kiowa just finished round two of the Kiowa sub-allocated funds, which closed on September 4th. Sub-allocated funds include Surface Transportation Program Funds and Transportation Alternative Program Fund. It also includes CMAC, or Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Program, and that is just specifically for Ohio. The states of West Virginia and Kentucky have their own process for the CMAC application. The staff reviewed all the submitted applications for the projects for their eligibility, and all were found eligible. The projects were then reviewed and ranked by the review committee, and have forwarded recommendations to Michelle Craig, our executive director, for final review and approval. And so, like I said, we had a good group of applications from Ohio. We did not have any applications. In Kentucky, we had several, as well as we had from West Virginia.
Okay. Any questions for Terry? Thank you very much. Does anyone else have anything to add to or to comment on our project list update? If not, we'll move on in our agenda. Number eight, Patrick spoke to the Chesapeake bypass, and we have a support resolution in your packet, and it was distributed also, I believe, via email. Resolution 2016-005. Michelle, do you want to address that?
I'll just make a brief comment, and then we may have comments from people from Ohio. I know that all of you know that the Chesapeake bypass, for as long as I've been here, almost as long as I've been alive, has been a number one project in Ohio, and we've worked very hard to achieve some progress with it. At the last activity by the track in Ohio was to dedicate $5 million for purchase right away, and most of that money, I think actually all of that money, Bill, may still be intact in Ohio and hasn't been expended, and that's been well over a year now, I think, since that. But the state has hired a consultant, an acquisition consultant, who will begin that process. And we're about to go back to the track later this month to, again, try to impress upon them the importance of this project, not only to Lawrence County, but to the whole tri-state region. So we just wanted to do something as a group and to hopefully achieve, again, the consensus of the group, just to add this very simple resolution, just as a little bit of force to show our unanimity in supporting Lawrence County and trying to achieve the goal of finishing the Chesapeake bypass. You know, Bill has been such a great advisor to us over the years. He serves on the track, and so it's a very complicated political situation that he's been able to make a lot of progress considering where we might be otherwise. But at any rate, the resolution is before you and just is a very simple, doesn't take any action on our part, doesn't require any action on the part of Kiowa, because all of that is at the will of Lawrence County and the members from that county. But at any rate, I don't think there's any more to say about that, but those of you from Ohio may have a comment or two.
I will entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 2016-005. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Further discussion on the motion? Not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Thank you.
The resolution is adopted. Thank you all very much.
We all cross our fingers.
Yeah. The next item is presentation of fiscal year 2015 completion performance and expense report as presented. That's this.
That's this.
So, Lane, are you going to address that for us?
I think, the document, the title of that document, is why 2015 performance, the expenditure of Condition River for transportation, land activity that was planned and managed by Cuyahoga. Basically, that's summarized all our planning activity for last year, 2015. And we closed that for the staff, was approved by this committee. The document, and we send the documents to all the members, and if you have any questions or concerns, let us know.
You have this resolution on this, on the yellow color paper. Resolution fiscal year 2016-003, whereby we're authorizing the executive director to submit this resolution to the Department of Transportation in Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia. Is there a motion to adopt that resolution?
Motion to adopt.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Hartman moves a second. Is there further discussion on the matter? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. It is adopted. Jessica, again, presentation amendment number two, transportation management area, coordinated public transit, fuel service, and transportation plan. Jessica.
We recently had a human services, public transit, transportation coordination unit. It was both, and this began on August 23rd. We have about 45 people representing different agencies. We were able to reach out and invite lots of people as well as the public to come in and give us their thoughts, have an opportunity to coordinate services, get on a list. And so we're trying to push into using our Twitter and our Facebook and all of those ways that we have of reaching out and involving the public and all of these organizations. Coordinated plan, I'm not going to go through the whole title again. With the coordinated plan, you have three main groups that are represented and make sure that there's public transit available and different modes of transportation available for this group, and that would be seniors, persons with disabilities, and persons from low income. So I think we did a pretty good job, and we're hoping that our coordination efforts continue and we keep expanding to who else attending our meetings and who's willing to discuss coordination with us. This is also an important document to update in that for agencies that are interested in applying for 5310 funds, again, it's one of the requirements for them to apply for those grant funds for seniors and persons with disabilities if they're transportation providers.
What's the requirement for every 5 years?
Actually, Ohio is pumping an update every year because they're wanting to make sure. We're hoping that we're reaching out and we're having an opportunity to update that at least yearly, if not more often, if we have other agencies and other individuals that are interested in coordination.
Thank you, Kristen. Now, you've heard the explanation, and the resolution is resolution number 2016-004. It was on the green sheet of paper that was distributed. I would entertain a motion to adopt that resolution.
Motion to adopt.
Is there a second?
Second.
And proper move and second that the resolution be adopted. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Resolution is adopted. Thank you very much. Transportation Technical Advisory Committee report. Phil?
The TAC met on Wednesday. We got our normal participation activities, presentation of the majority project detail. One project I'd make mention of, which both of us are all interested in, was the completion date on the Iron Russell Bridge, now it's on the spring 2017. Four items that we covered that are important to me was update on the two amendments that have been brought to the board for approval of the committee. We're also presented the 15th federal obligated project list and passed on that as well. The 2015 annual completion performance expenditures, there was a little bit of discussion on some activities there, and that was passed on. Amendment 2 to the TMA coordinator public transit and surface transportation plan was also discussed and passed on that. A couple of housekeeping activities that we discussed during the meeting was a request to separate the policy committee meeting into two separate weeks. It would give us a week break in it. Because the staff of the local community, it's difficult to take 2 days out of the schedule in 1 week and make it a far better situation for those of us who have to participate. The other activity we asked for was the rotation of the TAC meeting to a suitable facility. We have one in Ashland that has 75 seat capacity and has as good an audio visual as there is in the tri-state. So we would like to entertain that as well. I know that probably needs to come from the policy committee and maybe even the executive committee would like to address. That's all we have.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for him? Okay, any unfinished or old business to come before the meeting today?
I neglected when I was up speaking before to point out that in the packet. This is a tracking sheet. It has all the four documents on it. If you're looking at this sheet, if you pay attention to the yellow boxes, those are the deadlines. If you pass those deadlines, what would be important to you? But anytime there's an amendment to your signature plan that has to be tracked, it also tracks the conformity determination requirements. The top half is your planning portion, then green, and the bottom half is the blue, is the air quality portion. Also included over here on the right hand side are your certification review date, which has to be updated, and your ICS architecture date, your congestion management process date. So there's all kinds of good information on your fingertips, and Selene all has a current copy of it.
Thanks. Anything else under old business?
Chair, you know, something has happened in our region, this project field shell, and starting in Putnam County and going through Johnson County, Kentucky, so Putnam, Wayne County heavily, rural Boyd County, much of our region will be involved with that. Transportation will eventually be a major part of that. You know, Northern Ohio and Northwest Virginia, a lot of lessons were learned. It would be very advantageous if Iowa would start looking at this, maybe start to take a leadership role. I don't know if there's any grant monies available to help do some planning, because many of our roads could not handle that type of development. But down the road 4 or 5 years, but it is coming, and you know, it behooves us, I think, to think of that in our planning stages.
If I can address a little bit to that same thing Bill commented on. The level of loads that are involved in that are significant to the point of total destruction of rural secondary roads.
Definitely.
And bridges that we've actually been bringing portable bridges in to get across state bridges that would not support the loads that they're on.
Thank you very much. Good point. And then, to be honest, before we know, be proactive in that. We'll talk. Talk about that. Anything else to come for some new business? You want to talk about anything?
Motion to adjourn.
Don't move. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for participating on the phone. We'll be in touch.
See you all later.
Thank you very much.
I'm sure you did an excellent job. That was a lot of material.